So if you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Bible says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you. Everybody say command.
Command.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle. Wow. And does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing right. Amen? Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning knowing that you are mighty and awesome, Lord. And we thank you for your provision in this church, Lord. Provision of food, Lord, that reaches out to the people in this church and through this to this community, Lord, as a message, Lord, that you care and are concerned for our needs, Lord. And I pray, Lord, in understanding today that we might understand your word and our response to your mercy, your kindness, and your grace, Lord. That we might be obedient, Lord. That we might be on your plan rather than our plan, Lord. We'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen,
amen. Amen. Yes, yesterday morning we had a visitor. Sometimes that happens, you know, teenagers, sleepovers, all that stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Well, Joe got up rather early, and I had a list of things for Joe to do. Does that sound right? Teenagers need something to do. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
All the youth said? That's good. Was that you, Blanca? See, not one youth said amen on that. Well, Joe, I said, hey, Joe, okay, I need you to pack this package up to be able to put in the mail. I need you to empty out my car. I need you to grab the air compressor out because my front tire's flat. And let's see, what else is there? I need you to clean your room, clean up where you slept, and then we'll get some breakfast. And he said, oh, Dad, I got my friend here. Can't we just play? And I said, son, you got to get with the program. You got to get with the plan. We got things to do. I mean, he's driving off, got to leave to go to his football game all the way up in Simi Valley. We got stuff we got to get done. And there were things that needed to get done in the church in Thessalonica. That's the name of the church. Thessalonians lived in Thessalonica. And so the church was in this Greek city called Thessalonica. And there was things that needed to get done in the church in Thessalonica. And there are things that need to get done right here in this church. Can I get a witness on that? Amen, amen. Paul says, hey, Paul is working hard. He is looking for help. He is looking for progress. He is looking for victory in the message of the gospel as he is working for the Lord. And he says, hey, you guys see my labor. I want you guys to work just that hard. I want you to work and join me. And he says, you know, we are undergoing opposition. And we talk about three types of opposition as we read our scripture today. And one is evil men. Evil men that were in Thessalonica. The second opponent to Paul, as we read about his work in the church, is the evil one, the devil himself. So you got the evil men in Thessalonica, and then you got the evil one himself, and the third opponent to the message and the work of God in the church in Thessalonica was lazy people in the church. Can I get one witness on that? Let's try that again. Three opponents to the work and the message of Christ in Thessalonica. Number one was evil men in Thessalonica. Number two was the devil himself. And number three was lazy people in the church.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Yes. Going to get with the plan. Get with the program today. All kinds of barriers to the plan of God in our lives. Some outside the church. Some inside the church. And here Paul is talking about both. We're going to take a look at that today. See, we have a challenge. Bible tells us that as we come to the Lord, we are enemies of God. That we are enemies of His purpose. Do you know what I'm talking about? Bible says that we were enemies in our minds to the plan and program of God. And so as we reach out to this community and invite people in who have not yet accepted Christ as their Savior, we are inviting in our enemies. That makes it a little difficult. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, some of you guys, how many of you guys are military guys? I mean, you never invite the enemy in. You just kill them when they're out there, right? God has a whole different plan. God has a whole different program that we are to love our enemies. We are supposed to love them so much that we will love them into the kingdom of God. Amen? Many of you do not know Robert. Robert and Brett came to the baseball game with us on Friday night. It was so annoying because he was rooting against the Padres. And they lost 3-0. They had errors. They had mishaps. And every time, there was Robert acting like the enemy. But we still loved him in. We didn't kick him out. We just had to move a row or two away just so we could get a little distance there. God wants us to transform our enemies into family. Amen? Now, there are some who get stuck along the way. You know, it's kind of like, hey, they start getting to the church and they see this whole family thing going on and they're kind of going, no, I don't think so. Those people who get stuck in their progress create problems for the church. Because it's a progress kind of thing. Paul's saying, hey, you need to produce something. He's talking about work here. I worked. You guys should be working. In Ephesians, he writes, chapter 4, verse 8, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but he must work. Everybody say work, okay? So he's got this laziness thing, and then he's got this thievery thing, but the solution to both is working. He says, doing something useful with his own hands that he may have something to share with those in need. See, there should be something that you bring to the pot. It's kind of like those picnic potlucks. You'll bring a pot, you'll be in luck. You know, sometimes we just have people that bring forks. This is my contribution tonight. I'm just here to eat. We're going to be talking about that today. Paul says you don't just get to show up to eat. I want to let you know that we do have barbecue after church today. But there is opportunity to clean afterward as well, because we want to be biblical. Just like with Joe, we have to be with the plan. We have to get with the program. The title of today's message is Time to Get with the Plan. Are we good? All right. Opportunities and obstacles. How many people got obstacles in their life this week? How many people had a tough time getting to church this morning? Amen. See, those obstacles are also opportunities. Opportunity to find strength. Paul says, finally, brothers, pray for us. This is Paul the Apostle. Raise people from the dead. Heal people. Pray for us. We need help. Pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly, be honored just as it was with you. Paul is working for victory. Paul is on the job. Paul is out there spreading the message of Christ, spreading the message of redemption. And he writes this letter from Corinth. And Corinth like a modern-day San Francisco, a place of idolatry, a place of sexual immorality, and also a place of persecution. That Paul, as he's doing this work, man, he's getting beat down. And he's saying, I need your prayer. And you think, man, just get out of Dodge, man. What are you doing? Just get on out of Corinth. But he says that this message cuts through all that sexual immorality, all that idolatry, all that sin. Why? Because the message of Christ deals with sin. There's nothing else on this planet that has a way to handle sin. And it was effective in Thessalonica. It became effective in Corinth. We have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And it is effective in City Heights right here because we have come to know that sin will devour us sooner or later. Can I get a witness on that part, right? And so we come in here. I mean, we find out that our lives will just burn us out, drag us down. And we come looking for solutions. Just, have you been there? Have you just come to the end of yourself looking for an answer? That is why the message of Christ is so powerful. That is why you sit here today. Like, what is the message of God? What is the message of Christ? And the message is you have been ripped off. You have been ripped off. The enemy lied to Adam and Eve. And you go, oh, yeah, Adam and Eve, yeah. And sin entered the world. And death entered the world. And it destroyed your relationship with God. And so, because we were created for this face-to-face relationship with God, we live our lives famished. We live our lives starving, and we do anything that we can to satisfy our needs. And what we find is as we move through all these different vehicles that would try to satisfy, that we come up lacking. And the message of God is a message of restoration. It is a message of restoration of your relationship with God and a message of restoration of your future with God. And that is something that we hunger and thirst for. It is a message that works. It is a message that handles, has a response and a solution to sin. Amen? All right. He says, pray that we might be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith. You know about those guys, right? Not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful. I can get a witness on that too, right? And he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And I want to let you know that you can find strength for today. Some of us walk around weak, being challenged. Moving from challenge to challenge, surrounded by evil men, surrounded by and being attacked by the evil one. And that there is strength that is available from God. Amen? And you can find that and you can grab onto that. One B, right? Yes, here we go. Now, Paul says that he is looking for deliverance. Okay? And there's people that have deliverance ministries, you know, and you can pray for, you know, demon of smoking, pray to be delivered from the demon of overeating, from the, you know, deliverance ministries. You get a little bit out of hand. Now, this word, this Greek word that is translated deliverance is rumahi. Aren't you impressed? I told you a Greek word. I don't normally do that. I'm sorry, I even said it wrong. Ruamahi. And what it has is the idea of a current or flow. And what Paul is saying is that he would be delivered through the challenges of his life. Not be taken out of, but delivered through the strong current and the ripples and the rapids of our lives to calm water. He does not pray for deliverance out of, but deliverance through. And as you go through the challenges of your life, you will find victory. Amen? If you go around, there is no victory. There is no growth. There is no strength. There is no maturity. And Paul went through challenge after challenge after challenge. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he makes a list of the victories that it had, being shipwrecked, being beat down, being arrested, being all these things. It says, and God delivered me through every time. And some of you have challenges that you need to persevere and make it through. And many of you have. And that's why I got Aaron up here and Roki up here, because these are guys that are going through battle after battle after battle. They're the guys that are leading the men's breakfast, and they have testimonies of victories that you can grab onto and say, oh, that's how I can win in my life. Now, let me see if I got this right. Oh, I go backwards. Paul says that he would be delivered from wicked and evil men. And then he says, there's a shift. We go to the second opponent. First one is the men, right? The evil and wicked men. Second opponent is the devil himself. And he says that the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And that is a different ball game, so to speak. It is a different way of addressing the challenges. When you have spiritual challenges, the Lord steps in a more direct way. Now, he will strengthen you to overcome and move through those spiritual challenges in a similar way that he delivers you through the challenges from evil men. Amen? When we battle evil men, I mean, you can see them. You can grab on. It's just like, your husband told me, she got bad back. I can't touch her anymore. It's like, you know, you can see that. It's tangible. You can see it, and you can take your stand, and you can be aware of this. When we come under spiritual attack, you know, it's like, where is this coming from? You know, we are so ill-equipped to fight spiritual battles. And when we come into a spiritual battle, that's why Paul says, Lord is faithful. He's not going to let you go into a spiritual battle unarmed. He will strengthen you and he will protect you. Sometimes you'll hear me pray a hedge of protection. It is not a hedge of protection from the evil guys out there. It is a hedge of protection from spiritual attack, from spiritual enemies that we have that are discussed right here, and even directed by the evil one himself. Two different types of attack, two different types of protection, and the Lord will help you fight better, because sometimes we just feel surrounded. Amen? Roki's got surrounded the other day. Had some challenges. Come on up here, Roki. Roki's going to shared this testimony on Wednesday night, and I thought, man, we got to hear about this.
Yeah, for those of you who may have heard me on Wednesday night, please bear with me. Wednesday night, I was out here on the picnic table getting ready to finish up with the study I was supposedly going to have. I had two kids come in the church parking lot where the basketball kids on their bikes. I was like, the Roki attitude kicked in. I walked up to the kids with this, may I help you? Look. And so they started riding their bike out towards the parking lot. And one of them mocks me. Oh, he wants to help us. He wants to help us. This guy wants to help us. And I was furious inside. So as I'm walking out, trying to get their names, four other kids came and started circling me in their bike. One of them was a pretty big kid. I'm thinking 17, 18 years old. And I asked one of them, what is your name? One didn't respond. And the other one said, I didn't have a name. I called the one who said he didn't have a name an idiot. I guess his name is idiot. Straight up called the kid, he's an idiot. And as I see these kids circling me, I'm going to say, uh-oh, this is not a good situation. Are you going to get out of this? So I decided to ask the kids, who was the best biker?
Now, wait a minute. You said they stopped cycling, you're the big kid.
Yeah, the big kid stood behind me. I was like, whoa, what's your name? I was like, how long have you been doing this bike thing? So I changed it. And so they started talking to me, doing it 6 months, 2 years. I asked which one was the leader of the pack, which one was the best, because I knew that would be the leader of the pack. I knew he was the one that disrespected me, whom I felt disrespected me. So the one that I called an idiot comes back, comes next to me, and sits on his bike. As everybody's doing their thing, their tricks, I go up to him and say, you know what? I'm sorry for calling you an idiot, but really, what is your name? His name was Idan. I said, is this what you want to do for the rest of your life? Is this what you dream? He's like, no, I want to join the army. Have you spoke to a recruiter, Idan? I have. Have you finished school yet? No, not yet. I'm a senior, just need 2 more months to go. And then I told him, I said, Idan, forgive me for calling you an idiot. and forgive me for my actions when I was walking up to you and your friends. The old me would not have done that. I would have probably been in a brawl. And I've been in a brawl with 20, 30 people before, and it's not fun. It's not fun.
Amen. Especially not in a church parking lot. We frown on that. You know, see that wisdom kick in. You know, whoa, this is getting out of hand. Lord, deliver me through my challenge. And he was sharing that Wednesday. I mean, it was fresh, man. It was just before church, and then in small groups, he's sharing that. And then I didn't even talk to him. I just talked to him when he was here, and I said, hey, I want you to share that today. And you see how the Lord would use your challenges and your. How many of you guys, were you guys encouraged by that? See how the Lord would use your challenges and your victories to encourage those people around you. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's see. Current. Okay, here we go. Commands for the Christian. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do things we command. Everybody say command. Amen. That is not a word that is really that popular in our culture. Amen? He says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. The Christian life is one of obedience. Obedience is not a word that is real popular in our culture today. Paul calls on these Thessalonians. He commands them, and he ties into the authority of God, the authority of the truth of God, the authority of the plan of God. And today, I call you to defer your plans and your desires to the truth of God and to the plan of God. And the Bible tells us that you have authority, that you can call me into account, into deferring my plans to the plan of God. Say, Pastor, the Bible says this, that you can call one another. Why do we have such authority? We have authority as we line up on the Word. Amen? And the authority of the Word comes because of its source, who is eternal, but also because it works. Every time you line up on the Word, it's going to work for you. And sometimes you mess up. And you don't even interpret correctly. The Lord will kind of bring somebody like Larry along and say, you got that totally wrong, buddy. Lord's been giving you grace while you're working in ignorance, but your heart is good. You're trying to line up on the Word, you know? But he's going to bring you correction. And the thing is, we need to be able to defer our understanding, our interpretation, all that stuff, and line ourselves up on the Word of God. Amen? That's what Paul's saying. Hey, you are doing the things we commanded, the stuff I ordered you to do, you are indeed doing. And Paul says, I got confidence in you guys. Things are going to be okay. These guys are being persecuted big time. They were being persecuted so much that they thought they were in the Great Tribulation. That's bad times. Amen? He says, you guys are going to be doing just fine. You guys are going to be okay. Why? Because they were being obedient to the Word of God. And I tell you, what's the worst thing that can happen? Being obedient to the Word of God, walk out of this church, get hit by a bus, be dead, and wake up in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us are ready for that to happen today. Paul said, man, I want to go, but it's better I stay with you guys. Okay, I'll stick around. He says, you guys are going to be doing just fine. And he mentions two components of the plan, continuing in God's love. He uses that word agape love, that you would make sacrificial amends, that you would make sacrificial actions to the people around you. That you would put in extra, that you would continue in God's love. And then he says, and that you would continue in Christ's perseverance, which means keep on keeping on. Keep on doing it. You do this God's love, and you keep on doing it even when it hurts, even when you get tired. Amen? All right, B. There is a problem in the church. There's a little blank there. Everybody, get out your pen. There's a problem in the church. Loafing. You find that funny, Lisa? Okay. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there any name above that name? No. In the name that is above every name. That's what Paul is tying into. He says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, we order you to keep away from every brother who is loafing. Serious as a heart attack, right there in the word. Every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching that you received from us. Don't hang out with them. I am sorry, but God has not called you to a free ride. That was a real bummer to a bunch of the folks in Thessalonica. Why? There was loafing going on in Thessalonica. And guess what? There is loafing that is going on in San Diego. Can I get a witness on that? What's the problem? Our government has created a whole class of loafers that sit around waiting for a check. And that's some of you here today. But I don't have a problem with you getting a check. But the message that comes from that check is you're too old to do any work. Or you're too sick to do any work. Or you're too handicapped to do any work. And that is in direct contrast to the message of the plan of God. Amen? Because the message of the plan of God says, if you're sick, there is healing that is available. Amen? He says, if you are old, there is strength that is available to you to make it through. Amen? He says, if you are handicapped, my Bible tells me that all things are possible with my Lord who strengthens me. Amen? And so, I don't care if you're getting a check from the government, but it's what are you doing with all the rest of your time? Because the Bible says that God has gifted you to have impact in this body. You know what? I'm glad that Larry didn't buy that whole handicap thing, or we wouldn't have had piano up there today. I'm glad that Gene didn't buy that whole retirement thing because we wouldn't have had communion prepared for us today, or we wouldn't have had these overheads, or we wouldn't have had the stuff that gets printed out. You know what? You are called to have impact right here. To have impact just like Roki does, the way Aaron does, to bring a testimony and a witness and to say, wow, I could do that. God has called you to do something. And he has not called you to loaf. Loafing is a problem. Some of you might be sick. Some of you might be hungry. But your sickness and your hunger brings you to an understanding of your basic need. And your basic need is a right relationship with Christ. Amen? Many of you have come in here looking for a box of food. And I'm glad you got it. Many of you came in here looking for a box of food and have found a whole lot more. You have found a life-changing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where he moves you through challenge after challenge after challenge so that you can experience victory in your life. Amen? And you come to an understanding of who he is and you have surrendered your life to him that you might be transformed and be made new. And there are some who have not made that move. There are some who have stopped along the way. And they trade the fullness of God for a box of food. Paul says, don't make that choice. Don't make that trade. That's not where you want to go. It won't work for you. I was reminded last night, it's such a visual picture. of a movie I saw when I was probably 15, 16 years old. It was a Woody Allen movie, and I'm not a big fan of Woody Allen. I just don't get him. And I got to think, well, anyway, this is 40 years ago or whatever. It might have been Annie Hall, but don't hold me on that. And I don't need to hear if it was when I tell you about this. But he's hungry and he's starving and decides that he's going to resort to a life of crime. And he's talking about this, so he's going to do it. And then it pans to him, and he's got this very cool thief rig outfit on with a thief. You can just tell he looks like a thief, a good thief, right? And he walks up to this jewelry store, and he's got a glass cutter, and he's got this little like suction thing, suck onto the glass, right? And there's all these jewels and watches and diamonds and everything right inside this case, right? He's looking around. And he grabs that glass cutter, that thing, and he grabs a little hammer. Pat! Pops that circle out, just perfect. Looks to the right, and he looks to the left, and he takes that piece of glass, puts it in his jacket, and walks off. It was like he was stealing the glass, and he left all the riches for the glass. And so there are those who would come to the plan of God, the kingdom of God, the program of God, and settle for something to eat. We have barbecue after church today. Robert and Rhett, lunch is on me today. We won't even think anything bad about you. Everybody's first time is on me. And we do that, why? So that you can hang out with the family of God. We want to have a face-to-face relationship so that we can introduce you with a face-to-face relationship with God. Amen. And that you might be transformed. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, last point. We're going to move quick. Paul was a role model. Paul, I've talked about role models. Many of you are role models around here. Julie Camacho mentioned, made reference to Linda and to Eva, their help in the BBS this last week. You got a little round of applause. Neither one of these ladies were here earlier. Role models to these kids. And Stephanie gave her life to the Lord in VBS, right? Marlo and Erica, yeah. Isn't that awesome? Oh, yeah. He says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor do we eat anybody's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we don't have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. Paul was a role model, and being a role model takes extra effort. He went beyond what was required. He worked day and night. He was a tent maker. Think a tent maker? You think too, you know, they're out in the desert, right? And all the nomads, they all traveled with tents. So it was a very, very popular job that he could pull out the equipment and the gear and start selling tents, and he could make money. And I'm sure, you know, moving all that big old chunks of material, canvas kind of something, I'm sure it was heavy, and I'm sure they got tired. Working night and day and then preaching. And I'll tell you what I do is hard. I'm going to be wiped out this afternoon, standing up here and bringing the word to you. It's hard. And I'm sure that it was hard for Paul as well. But he said, I went the extra mile to be a role model. And the Lord would have you. Everybody put your hand, point to the God, to the Lord right now. Just point right to God. Everybody? Alberto, come on. There you go. Now do this. He wants you to be a role model. He wants you to put in the extra effort. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I want you to have a testimony that goes beyond these walls. Love Linda's heart. She said, you know, I just want those kids playing over in that park to be able to come into this church and receive the message of Christ. To be transformed in their existence. Let your light so shine that God would get the glory. And some people don't want it. Some people just say, nah. Years ago, it was a big deal. Charles Barkley, the gambling and some other stuff, and he said, I'm no role model. Why did he say that? Because he didn't want to put in the extra effort. I just play ball. And he was doing stuff that role models don't do. And he didn't want to stop doing the things that role models don't do, so he said, don't call me a role model. The Lord says, you're a role model. Lord says, you got to be part of the plan. Step up to the plate. Be part of the program. He says, I invested the blood of my son in you. So it's time to live up to my standard. Time to be part of the program. Last thing. God wants his people to be aware. God wants you to be aware. He says, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Put him on a list. Do not associate with him or her in order that he might feel ashamed. Boy, that's a word we use a lot in our culture, isn't it? Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Don't associate with him. See, God's people are called to be obedient, right? He said, do not associate with a brother. We talked about earlier a couple verses back. Somebody who calls themselves a Christian, somebody who maybe came in just looking for some grub, maybe just came in because Jimmy's going to be barbecuing, maybe just came in for whatever reason. And then they say, you know, I like this Christianity stuff. I'm going to surrender myself to the Lord. And then they get log jam right there. Because God calls you to obedience. And, well, I'm not into obedience. I don't like people commanding me around. Well, it's a package deal. You want that new life in Christ. It's a new life in Christ. And you surrender your old life to get that new life. Can I get a witness on that? He says, don't associate with them. You say, well, Pastor, that just seems so harsh, so judgmental. Yes. Read the word. It says you're supposed to act in a way that this person would feel shame. Why do I feel this way? Why does nobody want to hang out with me? Because you're not being obedient to God. The reason he wants you to feel shame, so you can start being obedient. So you can start growing in the program, growing in the plan, so you can have all the benefits, more than just a box of food. Am I talking to anybody? See, each one of us has something that the Lord wants us to stop doing. And if you stop doing what you're doing right now, next week he's going to have something else. And the whole idea is progress. And when you start being hesitant and resistant to God, all of a sudden you start getting a stench. And sometimes we can't even smell it. And the people around us are going, oh, you're getting a little stinky there, buddy. Your rejection of that action of somebody in this body is supposed to help them. It's supposed to help them become aware of their need to change. See, lost people need to get found. Amen? And found people need to be obedient. Time to get with the plan. God's plan. God's program. Lisa, you can come up and grab your guitar. Roki, could you have your guys come up? We're going to end our time with the Lord's Supper. You can just begin to pass those out. If you've not been with us before for communion, just hold these elements up. And in these elements, the bread and the cup signify the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, about which the message of Christ and the plan of Christ revolve. The message of God, a free gift. Free life. But as you take a look at these elements, you will see that your new life in Christ is anything but free. It was incredibly costly to our Lord Jesus Christ, who Jesus said, "How much do you love me?" He spread his arms out and then he died. And what he says is, "I'll make you in exchange my life for your life. You give me your life, and I'll give you eternal life, that you might be transformed and made new." He said to them all, talking to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And so I'm wondering today, see, there's no laziness there. There's no loafing there. There's movement. And movement is tiring. And movement takes effort. But aren't you glad that Jesus put forth effort to hang on a cross for you? So as we hold these elements today, go ahead, Johnny. You got one? You got one, Lisa? These symbols of Christ's payment, the payment for your sin. They are symbols of your death, and symbols of your resurrection. And your resurrection includes obedience. Your resurrection includes being a role model, going the extra effort, even when you're tired, even when you hurt. And at the end, there is reward. Lord, we hold these elements in our hands, Lord, a stark reminder of your sacrifice on the cross for my sin, Lord. Lord, we have been ripped off by the devil. We have lived our lives famished, Lord, doing anything that we can to try to fill ourselves up. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, asking you to fill us up. Lord, that we would lay down the attitudes and the challenges of our life, Lord, and pick up your attitudes and your challenges. Lord, we pick up your plan today. We hold these elements in our hands, Lord. I am humbled, Lord. Paul says, as we come to the Lord's table, we should examine ourselves. My question for you is, where is your struggle with God today? Where is your battle? Where are you hesitant to surrender? Where are you hesitant to be obedient? Because I guarantee you right now, he is bringing it to your mind. Some of you have been fighting that just this morning, just maybe the last 30 minutes. Some have been fighting that for 30 days, years sometimes. He says, "I need you to be obedient. I need you to lay that down, and I need you to surrender, pick up your cross, and follow me." all the way to heaven. Lord, as we hold these elements, Lord, you speak to hearts this morning. You hold this bread in your hands and you hold this cup in your hands, and you're here this morning and you are in a battle. And you are fighting to surrender. And you come in here this morning and you have not yet surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're totally uncomfortable right now. But the Lord says, confess me as your king. Make a vow to follow me all your days, and I will save you from your sin. I will wash you as clean as you've ever been. You're here this morning, and that is what you want to do. You have not done that before, and you are here and you're saying, Lord, I want to give you my life. We hold this cracker, which signifies Christ's body sacrificed on the cross for us. If that's you this morning, you are here and you have not given your life to the Lord. And today you finally understand and say, okay, Lord, here's my life. I give it to you. I want to live your life now. Nobody looking around. But just as a display to the Lord, I just ask you to lift this bread up and say, here I am, Lord. I give you my body if you take mine back. Give me yours back. Just lift it up high. If that's you, you've not done this before in your life. Back here, I see this hand, and here I see this hand, here I see this hand. Here, there, here in front, yes. Anybody else would say, that's me. Put your hand down once I've seen it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Lord, we come this morning to you. Lord, and we offer ourselves up to you. Jesus, you said, if you are high and lifted up, you draw all men unto you, Lord. We come running to you this morning, Lord, that you are high and lifted up in this place, Lord. And we thank you for your body that was given for us. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Let us partake of the bread of the Lord. Hallelujah. That same night he was betrayed, he took a cup. It says, in this cup is the new covenant, the new deal, the new contract I would make, my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And you're here this morning and you've been struggling with an area in your life. Maybe this morning, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe longer. You know the Lord as your Savior, but you've been having this battle with the Lord. You say, Lord, today you win. I'll lay it down. Forgive me, Lord, for fighting for so long. But I thank you for your blood was shed for me. Nobody's looking around, but you're saved. But you've been fighting. Would you lift this cup just as a display saying, Lord, forgive me. I have been fighting the wrong fight.
Yes, Lord.
Anybody else say, that's me. Just lift that cup. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are forgiving, Lord, and we come and confess our sins, Lord, that you are faithful and just and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we lift this cup up to you, say, Lord, we thank you for your blood shed on the cross, Lord, that cleanses me from all unrighteousness, Lord, that is given for the forgiveness and the remission of sins, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Let us partake of the cup of the Lord. Hallelujah.